In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. You know, one of my favorite things about family gatherings, especially when my uncle and aunt get together, right, is the telling of the stories. Is the telling of the stories of the past, especially the, shall we say, escapades that my uncle used to get himself involved in. And it's always interesting to hear how they change. Just a little bit. It's like the big fish or the size of the deer that got away, right? Uncle Louie tells the stories of his little buddy Mikey and the mischief the boys would get into in the 60s involving, you know, matches and gas tanks on tractors and little Mikey's eyebrows getting blown off and him going, gee, think I'll go to bed. You think they'll notice? Because I think I'll stay in bed until they grow back. Sure, Mikey. Yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They're not going to notice that you went to bed. Anyway, as we continue in our exploration of the redemption of Scrooge, we've come to the Sunday where we take the journey with Scrooge and the little wisp of the ghost of Christmas past. And we think about the own ghosts of Christmas past that we too have in our lives. See, Scrooge, you know, at this point in the Christmas Carol, he's already been visited by the ghost of Jacob Marley, who tells him, "You will be visited by three ghosts." Whoa. I'm telling you, ghost stories at Christmas are awesome. Anyway. And he says, he closes the bed curtains around him and he goes, "Ah, humbug." And then all of a sudden the bell starts chiming and the lights turn on and it's a bright white light. And here's the little, again, in my mind, it's the Muppet Christmas Carol that plays, but the little wisp of the ghost of Christmas past shows up. It's, "I am the ghost of Christmas past." And she takes him on a journey through his past. Now, we know that Scrooge is the kind of character who has for a long time lived by the rule, you reap what you sow. You get what you pay for, and, well, if you made your bed, you get to lie in it. Somewhere in his history, from the time of his past to the time of his present, his stories have changed. And so when the ghost of Christmas past comes and picks him up and takes him on that journey to his past, and you remember the first stop is that schoolroom where Scrooge is the schoolboy who has no friends, right? And his sister comes to pick him up and say, "Father has relented and has sent the money for you to come home." His sister, who is the mother of his nephew Fred, who he didn't want to do anything with. "You keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine," right? Scrooge says to the spirit, "Yes, and she died when Fred was born." Somehow he'd shifted the story to Fred was responsible for his sister's death. And then the wisp takes him next to the next scene, where he's at Fezziwig's, and it's the Christmas party, right? And you know, it's a party, my boys. Come and celebrate, he and Jacob Marley. And it's a ripping, roaring good time, and that's where he meets Belle. Remember, Scrooge used to have a girlfriend. And then you fast forward, as long as you have the uncut version of the Muppet Christmas Carol. That's a conversation for later. Anyway, and you fast forward and Belle and Scrooge are having an argument because Scrooge keeps putting off the wedding, right? And Scrooge keeps putting it off. "Well, we don't have enough saved yet." And Belle's like, "Well, the rate you're going, we're never going to have enough saved." And he sits and he cries, and that's when he returns to his bedroom. See, what the spirit of Christmas past did was take him on a journey to face his past and to see how it really went. Now, I have stories in my own past where it's like, oh, yeah, we embellish the things. It's how storytelling goes. We all do it. It's part of the human condition. We embellish a little bit here and we embellish a little bit there. And all of a sudden, the story we tell and the story we have memorized is not really what happened. Case in point. I was born during preseason football. My father is a Leo. My grandfather was a Leo. I was born 2 days before the cutoff. Mom figured she had to have a girl because she'd never hear the end of it if she had a boy, and she wouldn't hear any peace. So she was thankful when I came out as Christina Louise and not Christian Lewis. Okay? My father tried for that whole first year of my life to get me to say touchdown. And the way the story goes is that I was about a year old during that second football season of my life. And we were sitting there, and I was sitting on his lap, and we're watching probably a Steelers game. And the refs did this, and I went, touchdown! And he almost dropped me. That's the story. I'm not thinking that's actually how it went, but that's the story that's been passed on for 34 and a half years. Or the one where Mom knew what her father's middle name was, Grandpa Dellinger's name being Walter Lewis. She didn't know what Grandpa Henry's middle name was. She was trying to figure out what to do with Henry and Walter. I could have been Henrietta Wilhelmina. I'm not thinking that's actually how the story went. But it's the story that gets told. Scrooge lives in a life in the present where he's forgotten how the story actually goes. I'm willing to bet. Where the story he holds on to about how he's always lonely and nobody has ever loved him and his only love is money. That's the story he's convinced himself of. And if we're honest, the part of us that is most like Scrooge doesn't so much line up with the love of money, that cold, hard cash, but rather the fact that I am unlovable because of my past. Which is where we get to our gospel reading. So Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two brothers, Simon, who is Peter, and we love Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and they were throwing their fishing nets into the sea because they were fishermen. And if you translate it right from the Greek, the next line is, come follow me, and I'll show you how to be fishers of men. Fishermen to fishers of men. It's a Greek play on words. Anyway, right away, they left their nets and followed him. Continuing on, you know, it's kind of like that scene in, which one is that? Godspell, where the John the Baptist character singing, prepare ye the way of the Lord, right? And everybody's coming and following him, and they all start dancing in the fountain. Anyway, they're following along, and then continuing on, he sees the next set of brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, John. They were in the boat with their father, repairing the nets, and Jesus said, you, Mary. And they dropped what they were doing immediately and followed him. Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. He announced the good news of the kingdom and healed every disease and sickness among the people. Okay, he called a bunch of fishermen. I've never been to deer camp. I've never been out with a bunch of fishermen, but I have heard stories. These are not your clean living, pious people. Necessarily, right? These are not the people who are using, yes, Father, I will follow thee. This is not your crowd of people. These people have a past. And it's usually, I'm willing to bet, a pretty colorful one. But Jesus If we believe, and we do, that Jesus is fully human and fully divine, Jesus has that foreknowledge. He knows the boys' stories. He knows the past they come from. He knows that they are fishermen, out there with the big nets and the big boats pulling in the big fish. And he calls them anyway. He calls them anyway. And he calls them special enough to be his crew. What does that mean for us? That if Jesus can call simple people with a colorful past, no matter how the past story changes, is it not also true that God can, in fact, call us? And that if Jesus is willing to redeem these people, and if Scrooge can be redeemed and be reminded of his past and be brought back to understanding what the story really is it not true that we are also worthy of that gift? Worthy? I don't know. But recipients? Absolutely. So as we light the Advent candles and it becomes brighter, right? That's the thing about the four candles for the four Sundays of Advent, and you light them increasingly. It's to show the bringing of the light to the world. It's to brighten up the darkness. Jesus, the light of the world, is coming. He has come. He will come again. And the truth is, he knows our past. Not the stories we tell about it, not the way we've embellished it over the years, but the truth. And he loves us anyway. And he redeems us anyway. And while there is great hope in that, there is also great peace. We serve a God that we society insist on trying to put in a box. And my friends, he just doesn't fit. God's ability to redeem us, God's amazing gift of grace, and the hope and the peace that he brings to us through the birth and life and death and resurrection of his son Jesus Christ is unfathomable. You can't measure it. You can't wrap it and put it under the tree. You can't stuff it in a stocking. It is unstoppable. It is unmeasurable. It is unfathomable. Yes, you have a past. Yes, I have a past. Yes, we collectively have a past. But God loves us anyway. And God redeems us anyway. Why? Why? Because of who we are and whose we are. We belong to God. And we are deeply, deeply loved. Amen.